Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks for listening, and our sponsor for this segment is Delta Business Services.
Our sponsor is summer. Our sponsor is it's nice out and Bill's ready to go.
Warm up the coffee pot. Our next guest is she's known as the Detangler. She's a succession and life coach, is certified by the International Succession Planning Association and the International Coaching Foundation, and she's coached and facilitated multiple generation family business owners and their families and management teams through difficult ownership and leadership transition since 1994. So I'm really happy to have on the show Ricky Victorio. Ricky, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you on the show. And Ricky, before we get started on what you do and how you do it, we're going to talk about how to bridge a succession gap when your kids are too young to take over, which is a huge topic for a lot of our business owners. Before we get into that, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about you and your background?
Well, I have a very unusual background, which maybe allows me to be in these unusual situations in a more easy way. I come from a background of 25 years of being in the entertainment industry. So I was trained as an actor and a director. I was an improvisational comedian, and I coached and trained actors for 25 years in improvisational performance. And, you know, my whole focus early on in life was focusing on how do people be in change. So training them to be comfortable creating in change, working together in change, adapting to things that they couldn't plan on. And what started to happen in the work that I was doing with actors is other people started coming to my training and saying, I am stuck. Can you help me? I need to be more comfortable, or I'm having trouble working with groups. And then that led me to, hey, I own a business. Would you work with my team? Would you work with my family? And I started meeting advisors, and I overlapped this career of casting and coaching and directing into basically casting and coaching and directing business teams, which led me to family teams. And really, how does an ensemble work together, whether they're on stage or if they're in a business? And then the complicated side of how do you untangle those family issues from the business issues, so we're really not bundling everything up into one ball of, you know, knots. So it was a really interesting journey for me, not one that most advisors can say that they have traveled. But that kind of makes me an outlier, I guess.
Well, that's pretty cool. I think, you know, it gives you, in both situations, whether you're on stage or in front of a family business, you're going to have drama and tragedy.
So, yes, you are.
So you're well trained for that. And, you know, it is important because a lot of times you're forcing people to get out of their mind where they are, where their mindset might be stuck, and imagine themselves being in another, you know, changing their role and starting to change their behavior. And that all starts with imagination and creating different scenarios for these types of family dynamic situations.
Right. You're so right. A lot of my job is to really stretch the box out and push them into looking at the situation from a different perspective, and that takes creativity. You have to be in the moment. And the other side of it is recognizing the truth that is present in the room. So I might have an agenda for the meeting that we've set up a month before or 2 weeks before, and come into the room and something else is going on that nobody's talking about. You can feel it. It's, at least for me, I can feel it, I can see it, I can almost taste it. And so many times, especially someone who is more of a consultant, will come in and they're being hired to solve a problem. I will put down the agenda and say, you know, what's going on right now? you know, let's check in and teasing it out of the group so we can talk about what they're afraid to, you know, to talk about, that elephant in the room, that it feels so unsafe, but if we don't talk about it, we can't move forward at all. And usually the way I can do that is I've spent time with each person getting to know all the players in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mom and dad who own the business, key managers, and the kids who are in the business. And I know what issues they're present. So they trust me already. They've confided in me. So if I come in and I can see that something's really going on, they'll tend to trust me to say, well, this issue has come up again, and I know what that issue is, and I can talk about it in a way that protects people from feeling defensive or attacked, and we can actually address it from a more objective point of view.
You know, it comes under the heading of they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, doesn't it?
Well, that's absolutely true. That's right.
And so by spending that time to get to know each of them and build that trust between you and them and with empathy and really trying to figure out where everybody's coming from, you can then start to heal or solve the issue at hand. And a lot of times advisors who aren't trained in that way just try to rush right for the solution, and it's just falling on deaf ears. Is that right?
Right, right. And see, the whole element of coaching and the tenet that I really hold fast to is that the client doesn't need fixing and this family doesn't need fixing. They are creative. They are resourceful. They are whole. And the answer is within them. It's not my best idea. Yes, as a consultant and someone who is a succession coach, and I've been coaching family businesses for 20 years now through that succession process, I can bring ideas as a consultant, but when I'm coaching at the very beginning, what's most important is to ask those questions to get them to look within. They know the answers that are right for them, and usually it's a simple answer. It's on the tip of their tongue. They're afraid to say it. So to make it safe to say, well, what do you really want?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want our family to be whole again. We want family harmony. We want our business to be successful. All right, so what would that take? And instead of me prescribing, it's letting them say, well, if we treated each other with more respect, well, if I had a job description, if I knew where I was going, you know, if we had boundaries or whatever the things that are coming up for them, then it becomes their truth, and they don't feel that they're disempowered or that they can't, you know, they were stupid or how come we can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. The coaching is really about empowering the family to know that they can do this.
It's, you know, and it all starts with, I think, the roles that they're playing at the time, which comes back to the acting and the entertainment world, is sometimes in a family business, you have a son who's acting as who's now playing the role as the angry son instead of the vice president of sales.
Yeah.
And a director needs to come in and say, cut, let's try that again as the vice president of sales. Action.
So I do a lot of intruding, what I call, interrupting patterns and breaking it up and saying, okay, well, I know this is the way you've done it, but what if we just try this as, you know, like a role play for a minute and really let them kind of play with it? What would that feel like if you did it this way?
Ricky, could you comment on the role of empathy in these family discussions? And what I mean by that is I've heard that we have really two brains working. We have our lizard brain, which is our fight or flight, angry and happy brain, and our thinking brain, our prefrontal cortex, call it the walnut brain, that is really where when somebody's asked a question they have to think about, they go to that brain. And I've heard that those two don't coexist at the same time. So if you force someone to think about what someone else is thinking, or if you ask them to think about what someone else is thinking with empathy, then they can't hate at that particular moment. Do you use that as a technique?
Well, I I think I go about it slightly differently, but we're talking about the same thing, is I really try to get them to disengage the sabotaging patterns, that constant dialogue, that lizard brain that's saying, oh, you got to protect yourself. Oh, he's a jerk. Or, you know, they're pushing my buttons. All that mind talk will numb them. And I try to get them focused on their emotions, on their heart.
That's what I was getting at.
Heart. Mm-hmm. And also getting them to look into each other's eyes, to remember who they are speaking to connect and feel this relationship that they have that is so important to them, especially if it's family. So when they're speaking to each other, that they're remembering, oh, this is a person who's in my life. I mean, businesses come and go, but family relationships are one of a kind, and they're forever, you know. Mm-hmm. And we only have one family, and we can have many businesses, really. So to get them to speak their truth from their heart as they are looking at each other is so much more powerful than when they go off into their head and I hear this repeating cyclical story, you know, over and over again. And mm-hmm. one of the ways I break that is to say, you know, we are human. We all make mistakes. And we've got to not only forgive each other, but forgive ourselves for our past mistakes. We can't undo the past. And let's recognize everybody in this room has been hurt at some point. And we've all made mistakes. So what we can do is, in recognizing that we want to feel better, let's look at creating a better present and designing a wonderful future. And that's how I get them out of that lizard brain and even their thinking
mm-hmm.
brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get them into that feeling place.
That's fantastic. You know, the overall goal is happy Thanksgivings.
Right. And don't talk about business during
Thanksgiving. So let me ask you a question. So one of the things we wanted to talk about was, how do you bridge that succession gap when your kids are too young to take over? There's a period of time where there's a big question mark over the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess the big questions a lot of owners have is, well, I can't really plan for my succession plan until I know if my kids are going to come in or not. And either they're too young to even work here, or they're in college, or they've shown some interest, but I don't really know if they're interested in this business. So where do you start?
Right. Well, I think the easiest way to answer your question is to illustrate it with a client that I've worked with for 18 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was brought in as he was finishing up succession issues with his father. So let's say G1 and G2, and there was a real struggle where Dad, I'm going to say G1, grandfather, actually,
mm-hmm.
The way he felt he should bring his son into the business was to have him shadow him for 15 years, which drove G2, my client, crazy, and it ruined their relationship because it made him feel less than. His father never gave him any authority to do anything. He never recognized him. He was just the shadow, you know, and it was humiliating for him. And he was a very successful businessman in his own right. And finally, he decided he couldn't work with his father and went off and created his own business in the same industry, but in another town. So when he came to me, he said, my kids are in high school and in college. They don't really know a lot about the business. I don't know if they want to be in the business, but I definitely, and he has four children. I want them to have the option. What do we do? I want it to be different than what I had, because what I went through was horrible, and my dad and I hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's.
So, what I find is G2. When people have gone through this, they're usually much more open to listening or hearing ideas for doing things better. So what we did was we created a family member employment policy and an expectations at two levels, which said if you want to work here on your summers or, you know, in between breaks while you're in college, these are our expectations, and we need to have a job that needs to be filled. But if you want to come into this business, these are our expectations for you as far as if you want to own stock, if you want to be a manager, if you want to run this company or in some way, these are our expectations. And so what we did when they were in high school and college is we laid out a roadmap for them with educational expectations, that their dad wanted them to work somewhere else successfully for 2 to 5 years, and so they could bring something back to the business and also appreciate what it was to work and not have your name on the wall. And when we set up a family council and designed it so we, you know, we looked at everybody's personality styles and talked about their industry overall. And he said, this is the beginning of what I hope to be many years of annual family councils where I fill you in on what's going on in the business and whether you're in or out of the business. And we introduced the family member employment policy and expectations. We designed the family council so that they could talk about difficult or easy subjects. We started educating them about the business and about estate planning. And what the G2, now dad, his vision and his wife's vision was for the future. So what happened is we started talking about what would it be like if you came into the business. And it really opened up the space for his kids. If we fast forward, what happened is 3 out of the 4 have come into the business. They they made their majors in college focus on areas in the business they wanted to be working on. The 3 of them all got jobs out with, that were industry related, that focused on the areas that they wanted to bring back to the business. And then when they came in, when we look at the gap, the business owner hired a great general manager who was, he's about 15 years older than the oldest child. So we knew he had longevity to be with the business. And while the kids were in college, this general manager was working with the business owner. So when the first son came in, he reported to the general manager, who is now tried and true, been working with the business owner for about 6 years. And he has mentored all 3 of the kids who've come into the business. We've got 1 in sales, we've got 1 in more administrative and training, and we've got another 1 in marketing. And it's been really wonderful. We still have family councils. I meet with them quarterly and do check-ins to see how they're doing as we fast forward and they're all getting married and having kids. But the foundation that we created with the family council and the roadmap and how they were going to achieve stock ownership and the mentoring where they were not being mentored by their dad or managed by their dad really created a beautiful arena for growth, for being pushed and stretched and mentored. They don't step on each other's toes. And now we're having quarterly ownership lunches where the kids meet with the kids who are in the business. We meet for lunch, and they can bring up ideas and talk about what's going on from an ownership perspective where that might seem out of place for them to bring up in a management meeting with the other managers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so
it's the whole picture there.
It's fantastic. It's a whole communication process from well before a situation becomes a problem to lay out the path, and then all of the things that you talked about are very important, and I would imagine also help to diffuse a potential situation where one of those key managers is wondering what the heck's going on, too. So I imagine built into all of this, you have to have some special incentives for key management as well, because they're going to be doing, you know, what they might look at as hand-holding for the future of the business.
Right. So that's when you want to get your financial planner in there, and you can build in whether it's a phantom stock option or a deferred comp. And definitely this key manager is being rewarded. He's vested. He's had a long-term, you know, deferred comp plan for his retirement so that as he's been growing the business and mentoring the kids. And also you look at the difference of the ages. By the time the kids are going to be ready, now the oldest son is the general sales manager. Mm-hmm. And the other two siblings are, one is overseeing all of marketing. They have two stores. And the third is handling all the training for the two stores. So they each have their own focus. And the three of them eventually will be the partners running the store as dad, when dad retires, and the general manager will be retiring probably 10 years after dad. So it'll be a beautiful step.
Listeners, how does that sound as an alternative to the train wreck that a lot of you are going to be going down with no planning, with, you know, putting this off and being awkward and uncomfortable? How does it sound when Ricky talks about having a well-planned, designed process that starts early in the life of your children and as they come up through the company? Isn't that refreshing? It's amazing. Ricky, I really want to thank you for joining us today. How do our listeners get in touch with you to find out more about what you do?
Well, they can visit our website at www.mosaicfbc. So it's the Mosaic Family Business Center. So their website is mosaicfbc.com. They can email me directly, Ricky, R-I-C-C-I, at mosaicfbc.com, and I will be happy to answer questions or send materials. I've tried to make our website really informational. There's a lot of good ideas right there on the website that is just offered for those who are in need.
I love it. Great material. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. And for our listeners, again, get in touch with Ricky. Do you want to have happy Thanksgivings forever? Or, you know, or do you just not care? Come on. So get in touch with her. Check out what resources are available. And Ricky, I hope we'll get a chance to talk with you again soon and get deeper into this topic, because it's one very dear to our heart.
Well, thank you, Bill. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. It's been we've been talking with Ricky Victorio from Mosaic Family Business Center. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.